The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Getting out to your Gimel. This Gimel, our block talks about the idea that it may be possible for a borrower to say, I am a chuyiv to you, or whoever is coming because of you. This concept is very important to understand, and because it has a lot of applications. One application might be the question of legal will. We know that according to many poskim, probably the majority of poskim, will that is not kosher b'dinei Yisrael is not binding in Beis Din. So if a person writes a will and that will is not binding, the people that the will grants the money to would not be able to get that money in Beis Din after the person dies. It becomes even more relevant when the person writing the will is not religious. If a person has a non-religious relative or friend or benefactor who has Yerushim Doiraisa, people that are Yerush his money according to the Torah, and he chooses to grant a certain amount of money to an institution or to a friend or another relative who's not as closely related as the Yerushim, as is Yerushim according to the Torah, then the person who benefited from the will will not be able to receive that money and will not even be able to go to court to get that money because he's taking money that by rights doesn't belong to him. But according to our Gemara, there's a strong possibility, and there are a number of places that say like this, that say that this issue only applies to real estate. But when we're discussing money that was deposited in a bank or is somehow under the jurisdiction of a Goyish bank, such as investments which may be controlled by a Goyish entity, in such a situation, it's highly possible that these investments or accounts are not viewed as something that the dead person actually owned, but rather are viewed as money that he lent to an institution. Because the Torah seems to view a bank account not as money that a person has under his control, but rather as money that he lent out to someone else. Some people find this a little bit interesting and surprising because people assume that money that's in a bank account is as though they put it under the pillow. However, I happen to have a friend that was exceedingly wealthy before the crash in 2007, and as some of his investments were heading south, he was trying to pull out of them and save the money. The problem was that he had nowhere to put the money because the banks were also going bust. And if he was not able to have more than a certain amount of money that was going to be FDIC insured in each bank. So he lost a large amount of money because he had nowhere to put the money. So we see in such a situation, people realize that the bank account is not necessarily so secure, and even the amount of money that is FDIC insured, the insurance would not be able to upgrade that money to the status of a pekodin, but it would probably, according to most paiskim, retain the status of a milva. Perhaps all the paiskim would retain the status of a halva, of a loan, and therefore may be subject to a different set of rules. Because, as we see in this Gemara, there may be a concept called Mishtabad Malachol called Asim Achmasach. If a borrower tells the lender, I will pay you or whoever you designate to receive payment, if that's how we understand the Gemara, which is not 100% clear, there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim about this, what the parameters of Asim Achmasach is, how a person is considered the so-called designee or grantee of this of the right to call in this loan. But if a person fits those guidelines, then the borrower would be obligated to repay the loan to the person to whom the loan was granted, or the designee of the lender, rather than the lender himself. And since the Goyisha banks would obviously follow Dina de Malchusa, so when a person deposits money in a bank, what he's in effect doing is he's telling the bank, I'm lending you the money, and you should repay it to me, or whoever the law decides is the person that you're supposed to repay it to. So under such a in such a situation, we would say that once the person died and there's a will that has that's binding legally, and the bank is obviously obligated legally to follow the terms set out in the will, and since the will designates a certain person as the person who should receive the money from this bank account, so we would say that even according to the Torah, that money by right should go to him. Because when the person deposited the money in the bank, he told the bank, pay it back to that specific person. Because since the bank, he knew originally that the bank would be obligated and bound by the laws of the land, and he wrote this will, creating a situation where the laws of the land instruct the bank to hand the money over to that person. So we would say that there would be no problem halachically to take that for the beneficiary of the will to take that money from the bank, and he's not called a gazlan by stealing from the people who should be inheriting the money, because they by right should not inherit the money, because the money was never intended for them in the first place. Another great consequence of this concept that a bank is not considered money under a person's jurisdiction, but rather a loan, is the following question, and we'll leave this a little bit open-ended, because obviously the maskana is going to have to be not like this, but it's a question according to certain achronim. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says that if a person lends money to a goy, to a non-Jewish person, and the goy wants to repay him, and the Jew tells the goy, instead of paying the money to me, give the money to a different Jewish person, and let that Jewish person now owe that money to me. The Gemara in Bava Metzia seems to say clearly that such a transaction cannot take place. Since goyim are not b'nei shlichus, the institution of shlichus, of agency, is required in order to accomplish this transaction. To have a situation that when the goy hands the money over to the other Jew, that Jew becomes obligated to the lender, to the original lender, that requires the idea and the concept of shlichus, and goyim are not b'nei shlichus. Goyim cannot carry out an agency of a person, of a yid, and therefore such a transaction would not be considered binding, and this agreement would be null and void. So when the goy hands the money over to the yid and instructs that yid to pay back the lender, that yid indeed does not owe the money to that lender. So the question becomes, when a person lends money to another yid by writing out a check to him, it's not 100% clear why such a transaction is binding, because when the money comes to the borrower, it's basically coming out of a goyish bank. The goyish bank is handing the money over to the borrower and telling the borrower, look, by your receiving the money, we want you to owe the money to whoever you agreed to owe it to. But since goyim are not b'nei shlichus, it would seem that according to what the Gemara says, that the goy would not be able to accomplish that kind of chiyuv by handing the money over to the Jewish borrower, and therefore the loan should be null and void. So to understand this, we would have to try to bring in another a concept in Chayish Mishpat that I think may solve this issue. And that is the idea that when one person causes another person to have hanah, to receive a benefit of some sort, the recipient of that benefit is obligated to pay the value of that benefit to the person who granted him that benefit. So in this case, we may be able to say that since it's the lender's actions that directly cause the borrower to receive this money, because once the lender writes the check and instructs the bank to hand it over, that forces the bank, according to the law, to now transfer the money into the borrower's account. So the lender, in fact, created money in the borrower's account, which is a benefit that's worth money. And therefore, since the lender created that benefit for the borrower, he can obligate the borrower to pay him back in exchange for receiving that benefit. So it sort of throws a monkey wrench into the whole concept of transfer of money that we're under many circumstances we're going to have to consider transfer of money from one account to another account as not being viewed through the same lens as direct physical transfer of money as it would have been viewed in the olden days, in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, when a person hands money over to somebody else, it can accomplish certain things. It can accomplish a kinyan. There's an idea of kinyan kesef. All these concepts may be now in play, because any time a person transfers money by means of a bank, that transfer is not necessarily at all similar to a physical transfer of money from one hand to another hand. And many places can say, because of this, that for things that a person needs to have a kinyan, menat Torah, for example, a person wants to buy an estrig. So we know the Torah says that there's a halacha that the estrig has to be lochem. Estrig has to belong to the person who's shaking the estrig. Now let's say a guy goes into the estrig store and he buys the estrig by handing a check over to the seller. It's very possible that the person will not have a kinyan d'oraisa in that estrig by handing over the check. He may need to use some other form of acquisition for that check, for the estrig, because the check would not be considered mois. And we know that d'oraisa, we pass, according to many Rishonim, that mois are kainim d'oraisa. And Meshicha, taking the object into one's hand, is not kainim d'oraisa. So the only way to be kainim estrig d'oraisa is by handing money over to the seller. And since we're saying that a check would not necessarily be considered a transfer of money that would create a binding acquisition according to the Torah, it may be beneficial to make sure that when a person buys an estrig, uses some an additional method of kinyan, which can be either bringing it onto his property, so a person would have to determine whether or not his property is a valid form of acquisition of kinyan chatzar, because if a person rents the property, he may not be able to be kinyan with kinyan chatzar. Or if a person is not going to be in his own property on the Yontif of Sukkot, for example, a child who's staying in his father's house, a teenager may have an issue. So some place can advise the buyer to hand, I heard this from my Rebbe Shlomo Miller, to hand over a dollar bill in addition to the check, take the dollar bill off of the price of the estrig and pay it with physical cash. That way, it will be considered a milvo pruta, and the das of the moicher, the intention of the moicher is to sell it by means of the dollar bill rather than the check, and therefore that would be a valid kinyan medoyreis.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.